We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we bring in our guest, Jerry Foltz from the Golf Channel. Jerry, good morning. How are you? Thanks for getting up.
Oh, I'm good. No problem at all. Yeah, I'm watching the prelims on Golf Channel right now and listening to everybody talk about Brooks and exactly what he's doing. It's been pretty amazing.
So what is he doing? How is he just dominating this golf course at such a level?
It's not just this golf course. It's the majors. I mean, 9 top 10s and 21 appearances, 6 of those being top 5s, including 3 wins. And now the largest, I just saw a stat on here, the largest 36-hole lead of a major championship since 1934. He's doing things that we used to reserve the superlatives only for one guy named Tiger, and he's doing it with ease, it looks like, out there. Just he simply just brutalizes these big ballparks, so to speak. There's no explanation for the fact that he's won 3 majors and only 2 other PGA Tour events when he plays 5 times as many regular PGA Tour events than he does majors. It's really an anomaly.
So how is he doing this? Is he just pounding fairways and just with great approach shots and that kind of stuff? Or is there some other trick that he's had up his sleeve?
No, that's the million-dollar question. Just observing it, though, the recipe is quite easy. He hits it long. He hits it fairly straight. Yesterday, he got a lot of good breaks. That doesn't always happen because he fought the driver a little bit, the tee ball anyway. But he got a lot of good breaks, a lot of good lies where he could get it onto the green. And in a penal situation like a major championship, that's usually not the case. So maybe a little bit of good fortune yesterday to open up such a wide lead, but he'd be there anyway. And he's holing all kinds of putts. It's not a secret recipe. The intriguing part is how does he do it so regularly at major championships and not the rest of the year? And, you know, I don't know if anybody really has the answer for that other than majors, especially the PGA and the U.S. Open, are more about are less about finesse than regular PGA Tour events and more about just authentic power and ability to hit golf shots hard and straight.
Well, and that makes sense because he's always like he's fine at the Masters. You know, he's fine at Augusta and that stuff. But it always seems like you're 100% right, Jerry. Like, he gets on these courses that are big boy courses with a little bit more room in these fairways and the courses that really punish you for being in the rough. And he just obliterates the golf ball and he just gets so close and starts draining these putts and gets that momentum going. I mean, what they were doing that I mean, we should have known going in, they were doing that giveaway thing with, I think it was Bud Light, where he had to hit a ball onto a barge and he was able to do that in 3 shots. Like, that should have been the giveaway.
Yeah, exactly. Even it's moving targets well. And the difference being that they ran through the clubs that Dustin Johnson hit into the par fours, 5 or 6 of them during one of his practice rounds. And it was old school golf. Dustin Johnson is as long as they get, was hitting 3s, 4s, and 5s on par fours. Now the course has dried out. The wind's died down. It hasn't dried out much, but the wind has died down. And even when Brooks, Koepka, and the like are missing the fairway, he's up there far enough where he can get a wedge or a 9-iron or maybe even an 8-iron and chop something up there on or around the green. And the guys who are of average distance really don't have a chance against that because they're going in even from the fairway with much, much longer clubs to greens that aren't made to be receptive to 3s, 4s, 5s, and 6 irons. So he's got a huge advantage just based on his strength. The fact that he's pretty well dialed in makes it an even better advantage. And the fact that, as he says, as golfers say, pro golfers say, hitting their lines, meaning he's hitting his putts exactly where he's aiming with the proper speed. The guys don't misread greens that badly. So when you're doing that, you're putting well and the confidence goes high and he's making nearly everything. He was listed as obviously one of the favorites going in, but everybody was talking about Tiger and other players and maybe he wasn't given his credit, but now I don't think anybody, any prognosticator, can see him not winning.
See, that's amazing, and especially because of the guy who's sitting at second right now, and it clearly looks like he may have found his golf game. Did Jordan Spieth kind of look like he's putting it back together, or are we just hoping?
Yeah, I answer to both is yes.
Looks like probably your hardest question today.
Yeah, probably. He looks like he's putting it back together, but we are all hoping. He's such a good dude, and he's good for the game, and he's been through hell recently with his ball strike. I mean, his stats are from top to bottom nearly last on the PGA Tour in so many categories, and that's inexplicable for someone with his talent. It takes a lot of will, and he has a ton of belief and confidence and willpower, but it takes a lot of mental strength to be able to overcome the mental scarring that he has accumulated over the last 2 years. So this weekend will tell a lot. If he's able to come through even without winning and finish up there very high and hit a lot of great golf shots, then we might see him turn the corner. But if he goes the other way, then that emotional luggage just continues to get heavier.
So what ended up happening this week with Tiger? Why is he not playing today or this morning or at any point in missing the cut?
He just didn't have it. He's not physically able to practice. I know I've talked to Nota, his good friend, about it, Nota Begay, and others. He's just not physically able to practice the amount that he used to when he was dominant, even though the swing looks to be in pretty good order. And most of the game, there's nothing shouts out at you, he needs to work on this. He's just not, able to refine the things that he used to be able to refine with hours and hours of practice because of his physical limitations and the surgically repaired body. And he just didn't have it. A lot was said that he hasn't teed it up since the Masters. I don't give much credence to that, as long as he was doing the work, but we don't know that. He's very private about that. So he simply wasn't sharp, and that happens to the best of them. The unfortunate part is it never used to happen to him, and now it seems to with regularity.
I think it's interesting too, Jerry, the fact that he didn't participate in anything leading up to that. And, we could figure that he put his work in, but, we heard he docked his yacht at Long Island a month ago and was basically just kind of focusing on Bethpage. So you don't believe at all that him not taking part in any events in between there affected what took place, and it was just blip on the radar from having multiple back surgeries?
No, the fact that he didn't play doesn't alarm me. The reason why he didn't play is the part that would alarm me, and I think we can only speculate about that. Was he hurt? Is he not feeling 100%? Is it not his priority, which would be really hard to believe? And as far as docking his yacht, I don't think he was on it when it docked. He typically sends that and then gets there a little more quickly on something called a private jet.
Well, that's true. That would definitely help out the cause. Jerry Fultz joining us from the Golf Channel. So is this is Koepka's tournament to lose now? He's completely taken away from this? Or are we going to get maybe an Adam Scott, make a run at it? Because he had an unbelievable second round.
Yeah, Adam Scott could, but he made a ton of putts yesterday, and that's hard to rely upon at a major championship where the greens are this fast, and especially now playing later in the afternoon. Now, granted, these are some of the smoothest Poana greens you'll ever find, but they're smooth because of the time of season, and the seed heads haven't started popping yet. They still tend to get a little bumpy in the afternoon, and he'll be playing late today. He's definitely one I would keep my eye on. If it's not for Spieth, if Spieth hasn't turned that magical corner and doesn't shoot something in the mid-60s today, the only other guys I look at looking down the leaderboard are Adam Scott and Dustin Johnson, and perhaps even all the way down to 3-under and Justin Rose, but they have a lot of ground to make up, and every one of them needs help. Brooks Koepka goes out and shoots a couple of rounds, even par to 1 or 2 under, I don't see anybody catching him no matter what.
It's amazing. I feel bad because I'm openly rooting against Bruce Koepka because I want Sunday to be, a Sunday at the PGA Championship where 2 to 3 guys are all within striking distance. And I'm hearing, Jerry, I don't think it's going to happen. I think this is Brooks Koepka and he's just going to run the table and we'll call it a day. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. And I don't think you're the only one who has that same feeling. The only difference being if it were Tiger Woods, we'd want to watch him win by 20.
That's true.
But Brooks Koepka doesn't, he's not that overly dynamic person, at least publicly. I know as we've all gotten to know him through the publicity he's received from the way he's been playing, not only this week, but in past majors, you learn a lot more about him and you learn that he's an easy guy to like, a very easy guy to like, but the public doesn't really know that. They see a guy who's basically emotionless on the golf course, who's very guarded in his interviews post-round, and it's hard for him to build up that fan club that someone like Tiger or Phil or even Jordan Spieth, who's very emotional on the golf course and easy to like and very open during his interviews. Brooks doesn't have that. I don't know if he ever will, and I think that gives him a chip on his shoulder, and I think that chip on his shoulder is what makes him want to go out there today and not only and lead by 15 by the end of the day.
Jerry Fultz from the Golf Channel joining us on the hotline. Jerry, do you like the idea of having the PGA Championship now? Do you like that instead of having it off in August?
Yeah, I do. And when it normally was being played, college football had already started. Professional football was during the preseason games, and it was the forgotten major. It has the best field of all four majors. The only field better in professional golf is the Players' Championship. Even though they do have 20 club pros playing, it still has more of the highest-ranked players. playing. So it's a great field. And now it brings into play some of the courses that they couldn't play in the past, some of the iconic courses that aren't so far north, that were too hot in the August months to play. So I like it a lot. I think it becomes a lot more relevant. And having the last major championship in July really does give golf a chance to be a little more at the forefront of the golf sports landscape in general.
All right, Jerry, last question for you here. So I'm envying your son right now because you put up the picture of having the Christmas tree up when you were there yesterday. I have threatened to do this for a long time because I hate nothing more than having to pull the tree out and put it up and put it away. I enjoy it while it's up to the point where I have threatened for years that I'm just going to decorate it for the holidays. I'll stick flags in it for the 4th of July. We'll put eggs in it for Easter. We'll figure the rest of it out as we go. Is this what he's doing with this tree, or is it just we decorated once and now it's a part of the room?
I think number one, they have no storage there to put it away in. And now the four kids have four different families that have plenty of storage at their four different respective homes, or more in the current case. But they're just lazy college kids. They do stay on top of the dishes pretty well. I'm proud of them for that. The garbage can's a nightmare. What I didn't capture in that picture is right behind the couch is a hammock that's been there since day one that basically dominates the entire living room. I don't know how they do it, but they're college kids. And if we think back to those days ourselves, I think we'd all be envious of their living situation. But yeah, the golf clubs, the tailpipes underneath it that are just there for storage because the one kid hadn't had a chance to put them on yet. What's the virtual band thingy game that they play? Guitar Hero. That's it. All that stuff sitting out, and they're just good kids. But they're fun kids, but they're really good kids. They all stay out of trouble, and I couldn't be more proud of them.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad for that case. I'm glad there's somebody else out there who hates putting Christmas trees away as much as I do. Thank you so much for the time, Jerry. Enjoy the rest of this wonderful tournament.
Anytime.
Hopefully, we get some kind of contest going on Sunday.
Thanks a ton. It was fun.
Thank you, Jerry. Take care. And that was Jerry Fultz from the Golf Channel on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Just